Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is new him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh yes, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory. Gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and I won the victory. Oh, there's victory. Oh, my Savior, me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Oh, hallelujah! Aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, what a privilege it is once again to be back in the house of the Lord. How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Was the word of the Lord outstanding or not? I'm telling you, just, well, we're just so blessed. We're just so, so blessed tonight that we get to come to a place that has the word of the Lord the way it has it here. I tell you what, don't matter who stands in this pulpit, seem like it's just refreshing from heaven. And we certainly appreciate that. We appreciate God's grace. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight, isn't it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. I know there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is new him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I'm glad there's victory, oh my Savior. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at these prayer requests tonight, if you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Brother Matthew Carter wants us to remember a co-worker who received a negative report from a medical exam, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Ron King sends this in to please pray for Brother and Sister King. Both have been very sick, are in need of a touch from the Lord. Also, please pray that the surgeon's hand will be guided by the hand of the Lord for Sister Judy tomorrow as she undergoes her surgery. So we just commit those things unto the Lord tonight. Sister Simone Phillips says, please remember my sister-in-law's father in prayer. His name is Jonathan Woolman, and he is hanging between life and death right now. Please pray that God's will be done. And we certainly want to pray for the Mullins family, a little 16-year-old boy that was killed Sunday afternoon. And let's just pray for that family tonight as they go through this time, that the Lord would just be mindful unto them. I want to pray for Sister Ryan Wall. She needs a healing touch, very sick in body. Here's another prayer request for Brother and Sister King tonight. I want to pray for Bryant Payne, that's Sister Janet's son, that the Lord would be mindful unto him. I want to pray for Brother Tracy as he continues rehab, that his strength will return. We'll just commit him unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Daniel Nunley, who is still very sick with bronchitis, unable to be in the service tonight. So we want to remember that need. Brother Jim Babb is able to be in the service with us tonight. He's not feeling the best in the world, but thank the Lord he's able to be in the service. God is bringing him along, so we praise the Lord for that. Sister Evelyn Wiggins requests prayer. She is down in her back, needs a healing touch from the Lord. Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for my sister Brenda. She is so overwhelmed with grief by the death of her daughter 1 year ago. And now our brother passed away, or I guess now our brother yesterday. She cannot seem to overcome this awful sorrow. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember those folks tonight in prayer. And Brother Yuri, in his late 50s, is a precious brother in our assembly in Lithuania. He is in difficult condition now after surgery. He has some kind of a serious infection in his body. And Brother Anton is asking that we would remember that person in prayer tonight, or Brother Yuri in his late 50s, that the Lord would be mindful unto him. Sister Helen Weeb from Canada wants to thank God for the 5-year-old boy that we had prayer for. He had open heart surgery last week. He is now home and doing very well. Thank you for your prayers. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Madeline, a lady in South Africa who has terminal cancer. Brother Ron Shanta sends that in. Brother Randy and Sister Rachel, they want us to remember a pet of theirs in prayer tonight. They don't want to see it suffer. They're just praying that the Lord would be mindful. Pat Morgan, life-threatening injuries from an automobile accident. Brother Jim Hughes sends that in. We commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for little Tyrza Roncalli. She has the flu, so let's remember that need tonight. And I know there's the flu symptoms, colds, and different things going around. And I have one more testimony, but I thought nobody could give this testimony quite like the family that it involves. And Sister Alice Horn has been a little bit under the weather. She had some tests done, and Brother Terry sent me up a testimony. But Brother Terry, why don't you just come and share and lead us to the Lord in prayer. Sister Alice, by the way, is in service with us tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You just lead us to the Lord after you tell us about this, will you? God bless you, buddy.
I'm glad they asked me up here, because I actually forgot to write in here. Thank you so much for your prayers for each one of you. I'm just going to read the testimony. I wrote it out. But you know, it's the prayers of the saints and people that believe in God. When you get a hold of God, there's only one criteria for healing, and that's, can you appropriate that faith? It's already paid for. It's just, can we come to that level, whatever that level is required of faith, to see that person's healing? Because it's already paid for. It's not a matter of how spiritual you are. You don't even have to be a Christian. It's all based on faith. But can we believe? So we certainly appreciate your prayers. Let me get my glasses. Sister Alice had her MRI test this morning, and in less than 2 hours, they had results. Dr. Borthwick called Alice and told her there's not one sign of cirrhosis in her liver. All the bile ducts are clear and normal. Even at 6.5 years after her first transplant, she was having trouble. The doctors gave her a year and a half to live, but she's now going on 7 years with a healthy liver. And praise the Lord. So thank you so much. Of course, you don't really know what it means to me. You know, my little spouse is still with me, healthy. I only give her a year and a half to live. She's doing well. I told the devil many times, I said, devil, I said, if time permits, she'll die like all mortals, but she will not die with cirrhosis of the liver. That's my testimony. And by God's grace, I believe that. Now, he'll make me prove that by my faith, but my faith said that's the way it's going to be. And what these other requests that are here, it's all based on one thing. Can we believe? Can we appropriate that faith? Thank you so much for your prayers for my dear wife and these other people that have needs just as important. God will meet their needs too, if we could just believe when we pray. Shall we bow our heads? Let's look to the Lord. Father, we look to you tonight. First of all, we want to invite your presence. We ask that you take the uppermost seat. Lord, may you be among us. May it not be just another Wednesday night meeting or what we would call a protracted meeting. But Lord, truly, this could be the last service that we're in, or even some of us could be in. But Lord, we want to make the best of it. Take advantage of it, Lord, because you are coming present to meet with your children. And we're coming into your presence, Lord, by invitation. And we desire, Lord, your fellowship and your presence tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would touch each one of these individuals, Brother and Sister King, that's not feeling well. And each one that he read off tonight, Lord, they have a particular need. And I believe, as the prophet of God said, faith was to be restored by the seventh angel messenger. And faith has been restored. There's faith in the building tonight. People of this message, believe God. And I remember, Lord, what a brother said many, many years ago, and it's kind of an arrogant thing, but he said, when I pray to God for healing, he said, I expect God to move. And Lord, if we don't believe when we pray, then why do we pray? So when I pray, I believe, Lord, for these requests. I believe, Lord, when I pray that you're going to hear our prayers and give, Lord, the answer, the desired result as we pray. So I'm asking, dear Lord, you touch each one of these that's been written. Bless, Lord, the service tonight and all that's done and said. Anoint Brother Donnie to speak the word of the Lord. May it be spiritual food in due season. And Lord, may we see testimony from Brother Tracy and each one that's sick, that truly that you touch them. And may when we go from the place, we say, it's been good to be in the house of God. We rejoice in your presence. We're thankful for salvation. We're happy that the rapture is just around the corner. No matter what the world's situation is, Lord, we believe that you have it all in your hands, and we're trusting in you, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and a new birth. We love you. Bless each one. Heal each one, and we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, bless the Lord tonight. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming the services from around the world, different parts of the world, may God bless our brothers and sisters. Could you say God bless them to them tonight? Amen. Give them a good hand tonight. Amen. Streamers around the world, these services are a great blessing to them. Let's sing a song tonight, All Is Well. You believe it with all your heart? How many of you believe it with all your heart? All is well tonight. Now don't look at circumstances, because all ain't well. Matter of fact, there ain't nothing right. But in our spirit, all is well. Are you settled on that tonight? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise if you love him. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message shalom. All is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all is well. Shunammite woman and her son. woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. While working in the field, a little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified, all is well. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message of all. All is well. There is a place fighting the greatest battle ever fought. We must have the faith Abraham, the God's word never fails. If we'll trust in him, we're gonna find
me. Let's sing just a little bit of this old song tonight. When the storms of life are raging, Father, stand by me. Is that your desire tonight? When the storms of life are raging, sing it to him now. When the storms of life are raging, when the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, I'll sing it to him now. Oh, in the midst of tribulation, when the host of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who's never lost a battle, stand by me. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Fred Green is going to give us a song tonight. If you'll come this time, give us a song. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord tonight. Somebody say, I am.
I am.
Somebody say, I will.
I will.
Participate.
Participate.
I will say, amen.
Amen.
Or I will say, oh me. Whatever it takes, we won't get the job done here tonight, don't we, brother? Amen. Let's enjoy our brother as he sings for us tonight.
There's a line has been drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure met wrong. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Will you trade your hope of eternity's morn for one moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win? Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depth of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted. I have counted the cost. Sing the chorus with me if you know it. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world.
Amen. We appreciate that song tonight. There is a cost to count, isn't there? Amen. Let's stand tonight. We're going to go on into the service. Brother Donnie's going to come bring us the Word of the Lord tonight. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Let's sing an old, old, old song of the church. Something that I believe is going to be real in our life. Not too far around the corner. When the saints go marching in. Are you looking forward to the marching in part? I don't know where I'll be in that line, but I plan on being in that line somewhere. How about you tonight?
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints.
Saints go marching in.
Praise the Lord. Well, however that'll be, whether we march or fly or walk or whatever it'll be, I want to be a part of it. I know you do too. God bless you. Let's turn to Revelation tonight, if you would, chapter 20. I'd like to begin reading verse 11 down through verses 14. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Brother Mike Price will be with us Saturday night and Sunday of this weekend, so I know you're looking forward to that. Come expecting the Lord to deal with us in a special way. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now notice he doesn't say heavens, plural, since there's more than one heaven. But it was the earth and the heaven. Remember, the first heaven was the millennium. That's what Brother Ben said. I'm sorry you didn't know that. From face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now listen to this. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'd like to use that for our subject tonight, the second death. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you've made a way for those who will receive it, Lord, that we can be a part of the great program of God. We realize it's purely your grace. And we know that when you are dealing with humanity, your greatness is expressed in such a way that you could have dealt with only the eternal section of the book of life. You could have only made one section and that would have been the end of it. But your grace was so abundant and you had so many attributes about yourself that you wanted to express. So you had another part in that same book and you decided to call it the book of life. In that is a reflection of the wheat plant and the way that it reveals itself from one stage to another. And we know then, Father, whether we would be elect or not, there's still a way for us to escape the judgment that will come. And for that we are thankful. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you'd speak to our hearts by your word. May we be captured, captivated by the presence of God, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Friends, you may be seated. Certainly appreciate the grace of the Lord to our hearts, don't we? Amen. Love Him so much. This is not a very exciting subject. It's not one that would make us rejoice if we look at the negative side of it. Yet, in preaching negativity, there can also be positive things about it that we get out of it. And hopefully that's what will happen to us tonight. But if there would be one person here in this building, or one that would be sitting at home tonight, wherever they are in different parts of the world or different time zones that they'd be in, or someone tomorrow that would go and hear this service, and somehow their life would be affected and be able to be changed from this path that they are going in the direction of the second death, then truly it would be worth all the effort that we could ever put forth. You agree with that? So may God help us tonight that we can be able to set it forth in a manner of truth in the spirit of delivery that would be pleasing to the Lord. Now the second death is something that, of course, most of us, we understand by reading the scripture that it is a scriptural term and it is a message term. It's not something that you would hear pretty much out here in the world itself, but being around church and people that's read very much about the Bible, they know that it is a term that is in the Bible. And it is something that has been identified to let us know that it's something that we can escape. Now, the first death is inevitable. Every one of us are going to go by the way of the grave, or if we go by the way of the rapture, it'll still be consummated in a sense in a death in that this body will pass from one form into another. So we will pass away one way or another. And we know the earth must also come into the same way. But when we come to the second death, it is this death that God places before us, the way of life, and we do not, absolutely do not have to go by the way of the second death, whether or not you are elect. Now, you do not have to be bride to escape the second death. You do not have to be elect, called, or chosen to escape the second death. This is the way that God's given mercy to those that are even not of his own kind, to give them the opportunity to escape the second death. There again, that's the abundance of his mercy. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, if he's not willing that any should perish, and we have his mind, we should feel the same way. So if there's anybody that you would want to see lost or you'd want to see them go to hell, I would advise you to repent and get that thing off of you tonight, because it is not the Spirit of God. I don't care how bad they've treated you, what evil things they may have done to you. Brother Bram said, I don't think there's any mortal, even if they're a sinner, that you could stand by them shoulder to shoulder at the throne of God and not feel sorry for them. He said, and come back down from there feeling different about them. There's no way you can, because you realize you need grace too. But now in this, the second death, of course, the first death is the separation of the soul from the body. It is also the separation of our presence or a family member's presence from the rest of the family on the earth. Death is also a separation from this present life. It is a separation from this present home. So when we think of death, we would think of many things. We can go down through the channel of death in many different ways. We could go by disease. We could go by an automobile accident. We could go a heart attack in our sleep at night. So there's many different avenues by which we would walk down through the valley of the shadow of death. But God, in his mercy, we know to the real elect of God and those that are in Christ Jesus, we have no fear of that death. And also, if we are in him and we've been baptized into him by the Holy Ghost, then the fear of the second death has also been eliminated from us. So we don't have to worry about the second death. But I'll tell you tonight, if you're not in Christ Jesus, and if you're not following along with the Word, now, there will be many people who believe in God who will die the second death. There will be people around this message who embrace Brother Branham as being a prophet that will die the second death. Because you're not set free from the power of the second death by believing there is a God. Because if you were, then the devil would not have to die the second death.
You're not set free or delivered from second death by believing that God sent a prophet, because if we could get the devil to tell us the truth and ask him, do you believe Brother Branham was a prophet? He'd have to say, yes, there ain't no question about it in my mind that he was. So it takes more than that. There'll be many stages by which people whose name is in the wheat book or the book of life will have their names removed from that book because of the rejection and denial of progression of the word, or because of the bad treatment of the brethren. Different things will bring that on. But whenever they stand there, inevitably they will be committed to this channel of the second death. Now the second death is quite unlike the first in that it is a separation, but it is an eternal separation. Now it is not just an annihilation. The first death, of course, comes, strikes the body, and then it sets in putrefaction, sets in all this breakdown of the chemistry of our bodies, the muscles, the tissue, the bones, and so on and so on, and it will bring the body eventually to an annihilation, where it will absolutely decompose and rot, go back to the dust of the earth. But the second death, it sets in and works in another way. Now when death strikes the natural body, then the soul of course leaves, goes to wherever your home is, and then there it will be kept. Now whenever the second death is actually set in motion, then it will actually be the death of the soul and the death of the body. It may be for millions of years that some people will burn. Some will burn for thousands. Some may burn for hundreds of thousands. Some will burn for millions of years. But eventually, every person there, including the devil himself, will be completely annihilated. And for that I say, thank God. Thank God that they're going there? Oh no. But thank God they will be finally annihilated and they will not suffer for eternity. Praise the Lord. Now you see what you want to in that. I see the grace of God. He could punish them for however long if he wished to do so. But he is a just and merciful God. Now watch this in Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Now death itself striking every human being after the fall of Adam. And then we know that, of course, once it happens, then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So death is only a temporary holding place. Hell, Hades or Sheol, is only a temporary holding place. But this now is setting in a new order. And this order must be set in before we break into the new world and into the new city. Now remember, before heaven actually comes down on the earth, the white throne judgment, as we've been looking at, will actually take place on the earth. And then this will be the end of the white throne judgment. That death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now here is death, which has been the enemy of God since the fall of man in the beginning. Hell, which has been the enemy of God, also will be cast into the lake of fire. Now these are two prisons, as it were, which have struck. Now death itself struck the righteous and the unrighteous, saints, the godly, the ungodly, and it is an enemy against God. Amen. You believe that? If you and I have to go by the way of death, one day God will punish death itself for striking me. God will punish death itself for striking every child of God that has ever left this earth. Amen. Oh my. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. So the lake of fire is the second death. Now the lake of fire is the second death. Now death itself is not the second death. Hell is not the second death, but the lake of fire is the second death. Now watch this question and answers on Hebrews. An unbeliever will go through the world. He'll have miseries and woes, and he'll have what he calls a big time. Whoopee, having a big time, women, wine, big time. He thinks he's going on. He'll die. He'll go into the lake of fire and brimstone, which burns, where burning is going on forever and forever. Maybe 100 million years, his soul may be tormented in a lake of fire and brimstone. Now what will determine how long they will be there? Their works on the earth. Now friend, I don't care how much that we think God does not keep a record of what we're doing, what we're saying, the way we're behaving. It's all being held in heaven. I don't believe that many folks believe that. Sometimes I don't think message folks even believe that. I don't think they would act the way they do. I think instead of us, you know, having bad attitudes and doing things that are wrong, I think if we really believe those things, that God's going to hold us accountable, that we would live a lot better life than what we do. You want to live every day, but Brother Donnie, I'm bride. God will hold nothing against me. That's exactly right. But I'll tell you one thing. You do something wrong, He'll wear you out. I don't care whether you're bride or not bride. You cannot sin and get by with it. Amen. Now watch again, Revelation chapter 5, part 2. Now there's a hell, there's a lake of fire. And maybe where the wicked are punished, they'll finally be consumed. Maybe 1,000 million years. But finally, they'll finally be consumed. Because you cannot have eternal life unless you're saved. Now notice the difference in the span of time here. 1,000 million years. The other ones was millions of years. And then he said thousands of years. What will be the difference? According to their works. Now those who've lived a very short lifespan, not done very much evil, but yet remember, just by turning down the cross, by turning down the ability to be saved, they don't need anything else to be punished for, but that alone would merit them thousands and thousands of years. God does not condemn the lost people because they are born lost, but because they choose to remain lost. Amen. We cannot help being born lost. We cannot help being that, but we can help it now. But what if I'm not bride? That does not even make one bit of difference. There will be millions and millions of people saved who are not bride. We message folks get the idea, if I ain't bride, I ain't going. I'll tell you one thing, I don't feel that way. Hey, I don't deserve to be bride. If I am, it's just another blessing added to my life. But I'll tell you one thing, I ain't going to hell whether I'm bride or not bride. If I ain't going in the rapture, if I don't live in the city, don't look for me down in hell, devil, because I ain't going to be there. I've accepted God's grace. I've accepted the gift. Amen. And I believe what He has said in His word. I don't have to go to hell whether I'm bride or not bride. Well, people say, well, if I ain't bride, I ain't going. You're mentally disturbed. What's wrong with you? What makes you think you deserve to be bride in the first place? A king come down here and give his life so I could be saved? If I live in the city, hey, if I have to run the garbage route in heaven, if there was such a thing, I'd be happy to be there. I'd be the smilingest garbage man you ever seen in your life. If I've got to sweep the streets, if I've got to do something on the outside, man, I'm going to be so happy to be there. I'll come in and look at you all and say, God bless you, bride. But I know one thing. I love Him and I ain't going to no devil's hell. No, sir. Now watch this in the Smyrnian church age. I don't know why we got off on that, but apparently somebody needed it. Notice, we all know that the second death is the lake of fire. Now, he quotes this in Revelation 20:14. And he said, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, and this is the second death. But I stand on the authority of the word of God and deny that the unbeliever goes to an eternal hell and burns there eternally. In the first place, hell or the lake of fire, whatever you want to call it, is not eternal. How can it be if it had a beginning? And Matthew 25:41, it says, everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't you see? Even mortals who go there, it wasn't even made for them. They go there by choice, which is sad. Why would anybody want to go to such a place? If it had a beginning, it can't be eternal. Of course, you might stumble over the idea. Now listen, of the word everlasting. But that word means from the ages to the ages and has different meanings attached to it. In 1 Samuel 3:13-14, notice this. God told Samuel he was going to judge the house of Eli forever and that they would offer no more sacrifices forever as his priest. And in 2 Kings 2:27, Solomon thrust out the last descendants of Eli from the priesthood. That was four generations or so later. Now look, forever and forever. Four generations. 160 years. Not for eternal and eternal, forever and forever. Now, when you come to the New Testament, it's the Greek word aion, which is age to age. So it's aion and aion, age to age, everlasting to everlasting. But when you come to the life of the elect, it is not aion, it is Zoe. Eternal. It is not aion. We are not age to age. Amen. We are not age to age, time to time, slot to slot. We are eternal part of Him. Now you can see that everlasting does not compare with what is eternal or that which had no beginning or end. Here in this case, the word everlasting means to the vanishing point. Now notice, so they will suffer to the vanishing point. That is what happened. They vanished. Now notice this again. Then the reign of death and Hades or Sheol will be terminated whenever it empties out into this term called the second death. Now, of course, death and hell was a temporary death, but now it moves into this part. Notice this, hell always follows death, he says, in the natural. When the natural man dies, hell follows him. That's the grave, Hades. That's in the natural. But in the spiritual, it's a lake of fire. It's eternal separation where they're burned up. Now listen to this. I believe in an eternal death. Now look, that's what he said. It's a condensed filter. I believe in an eternal death. You understand what that means? That means that even while they are living now, they are dead. They never have been alive, never will be, neither can they be. So they've always been in that cycle, though some of them go to church, some will shout, some will be preachers, they'll be this, that, and the other, but their whole existence on the earth has been in this realm of death. Same as I believe in an eternal heaven, but not an eternal hell. There's no such a thing as eternal hell, there's an eternal death. For the people that are, many of them religious in the world today, has always been dead. Don't you see the woman that liveth in pleasure is dead while she is alive? So in their soul, they are dead. That's why they make fun of the word. They ridicule the word. Look, friends, many people are turning away from the message, and we pray to God that some of them will come back and see the error of the way, but many of them will not. They've reached a spot. They're sick and tired of believing something or being around something that really they're not a part of in their soul. Many people, this message caught their ears because it was different. It was something that was really different than what they'd ever heard in their life. But remember, it will all terminate somewhere unless your soul is a part of this word. I don't want my flesh only to be a part of this message, nor my spirit, nor my way of life alone. I want my soul, my very existence to be a part of this word. And if it is, if every one of you turn away, it ain't going to move me. If I turn away, it ain't going to move you. Why? Because it runs deeper than pastor love. It runs deeper than mama love and daddy love. It's your soul. Notice this, how Jesus in the Revelation deals with this about eternal death or the second death. Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Isn't it amazing it didn't say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the prophet says? Or the pastor? Or the teacher? Or the evangelist? See, if you got the Holy Ghost, you'll hear all five of them. You won't have a one-fold ministry. Glory. I said you won't have a one-fold ministry. Many folks around the message have got a one-fold, it's a prophet. Others have only got a one-fold, it's a pastor. He's the only one they want to hear. You better get out of that move. God put five fingers on that hand for a reason. Come on now, church. Now notice, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not. You can take this to the bank, brothers. Shall not be hurt of the second death. This is a promise from the Almighty. Notice, not he that believeth, not he that dresses a certain way, not he that cometh to church, not he that playeth tapes, he that overcomes. Oh, my Lord, help us. Don't you understand what a power there is in overcoming? Not overcome once, but overcome us constantly, ongoing. It never stops. Do you understand? Real Christians will be overcoming the final day before the rapture. Glory to God. He that overcometh, it don't never stop until we are changed. And it's a sign that second death cannot get you. Why? You've got the overcomer living in you. My Jesus cannot be subjected to the second death, and neither can I if I overcome. Hallelujah. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 20 and 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So the second death cannot touch a child of God who overcomes and who's entered into the first resurrection. Watch this now in the Sardesian church age. In that day there will be those who come forth to eternal life, and those others who are caught in the second death. Now we do not need to guess about those who in the second resurrection are given life. We are told it is given to them on the grounds that they have been kind and good to the brethren. Those who are raised and cast into the lake of fire will be so treated because of their mistreatment of the brethren. Can we comprehend the Lord Jesus feels so strongly about his family that thousands and millions of these people down through the ages, their destination, Brother Jim, being determined. Now remember, these are not people who were in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are not people who had a seed gene of God that made them align with that word. But God will deal with them according to their treatment of his living Bible. You know, there is a translation called the Living Bible. Well, God has a translation called the Living Bible. It's the Word made flesh. As a matter of fact, that's what's going in the translation. It's the living translation of the living Bible. Oh, glory. And God not only has a special thing that he created for this special people called a rapture, but he has an allotment for those that will come up whose names are not removed from the book of life. And it will be by their treatment of his wife. Oh my. Since this is the word of God, we simply accept it. Yes, I debate that. I'm not going to spend my time even arguing with you. It's not up for debate. There is no argument here. Just a simple statement of fact. Oh, praise the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. See, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. The first death is separating from our loved ones. We'll go in the presence of God, never out of his presence. Now, if there's a second death, then it has to be the death of the soul. He that overcomes the world or overcomes the things of the world has eternal life and shall not be touched by the second death. Now, remember, these that stand in the resurrection, they never had that overcoming life within them. So the very means that they're able to go in is because they were kind to the brethren. Notice again, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And they that overcome in the church ages here shall not be hurt by the second death. The body dies first. The soul dies next, and it will be no more. That's why Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But what if your soul was a gene of God? What if that soul actually was an attribute of God's thinking? I know it's a mind boggler. Brother Ram says that this one in Shreveport 1965, there's only one form of eternal life, and that was you. You don't remember it no more than you remember being in your earthly father, but that was you. Notice this. As long as you got a Pentecostal experience in your heart, Pentecost in your soul, giving you eternal life, then God has promised that you'll never be touched with the second death. Listen to me, message people. This is why you're not taking my real Pentecostal experience away from me. It is my token. It is my assurance. It is my seal. It is my vindication. It is my sign of ownership. It is my escape from the second death. Hallelujah. Don't you see, the second death cannot touch your soul if you've got a real, genuine Pentecostal experience. Oh my. Then you've got eternal life and can't be touched. Take you? It can't even touch you. The second death can't even come near where you are. Hallelujah. Notice this again in the Sardesian church age. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And all the wicked will be cast into it. That's exactly right. They'll be punished for maybe 100 million years for what they've done. But there'll become a time that the second death, notice this, there'll be nothing left of them. Everything that had a beginning has an end. So we receive, notice this, eternal life. We're receiving part of that cosmic light that was back yonder before there was ever a molecule. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. No wonder you love light. No wonder even when the gospel is coming and preaching on you and burning your old flesh up, that something inside of you rejoices. Why? Because your soul loves light. And light don't just bring doctrine, but light brings correction. Light brings all of these things, and the real child of God loves light because they've got cosmic light down inside of their soul. How can you keep from loving light? What they love is what they are. Glory to God. They love light. How in the world can we rejoice over preaching about the second death? I told you there's some positive things, and when you preach negativity, that light of God comes into our heart that enlightens us that we see Jesus. The Bible said we don't see all things, but we see Jesus. Now notice this. He says, I believe in a burning hell, certainly. The Bible said so, but it's to destroy. The Bible said, blessed is he that hath no part in the second death. You see, you won't be destroyed by the second death. The first is a physical. The second is a spiritual death, when everything is finished. Do you understand? One day, even the very memory of the wicked will be destroyed. There will be no memory of the wicked. No, how sad. Do you realize they go from having the opportunity to being able to live on the outside of the city and given them to come into the existence of eternal life and live there under the subjection of the king. And they turn that down for total annihilation. When their name could have been called off the book of life, and Brother Ben said, I've been told by those who know it's true. One of the greatest things that a person can hear is when their own name is called out. I've often wondered who that was that told him that. Now you imagine they could have had their name called out. Their name could have been remaining on that book of life, the wheat book of life. And they could have entered into, not that they had, they could have entered into. Do you see what he would have done to them? He would have actually have brought these unconverted people, non-elect people. He will bring many of them into the state of eternal life. And he will give them a change that will last for eternity. Amen. All they got to do is accept it.
Amen. But instead, they choose to go this way. The soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. You'll be punished for your sins. Maybe through hundreds of years. Thousands
of years. But there can't be an eternal hell. Now look at the figures we've already quoted here tonight. Hundreds of years. Thousands of years. Millions of years. Hundreds of millions of years. There's no way that a 16-year-old boy, as I've said it many, many times, going out and he gets his driver's license and he goes out and gets drunk. Dies lost. He raises up at the White Throne Judgment. Right over next to him stands Adolf Hitler. Eichmann. Many of these people that's lived down through time. Nero. Killed thousands of people, hundreds of people, whatever it was. And then both go to the same place and last the same time. God is just. Some maybe be there for years, a short span of time. And eventually, how will this all work? I have no idea. But all I know is the allocation of our Father's Word will go with every individual. Can you imagine how long this will take? Can you imagine as these people walk before Him and He allocates to them their judgment as they go into this lake, their terminating point will go with them. It is their destiny. It's they will end, and when He gets to them, go into the lake of fire. Who? How will they know when? Each one of them will carry their own termination with them. The judge will give it to them. You go down through there, and when their termination time comes, they will be annihilated and their soul will cease to exist. How could they even stay there were it not for His wrath? Were it not for His own judgment permeating down in that regions of the lost? Amen. Oh God, children, don't go, please. Amen. Notice this, the Bible said hell was created. How can it be created and be eternal? The Bible said hell was created for the devil and his angels. And if it was created, it can't be eternal. Because eternal, anything eternal, never had a beginning or had an end. I like that. That's me. Not this, but me. Now don't let anyone say I don't believe in a lake of fire and punishment. I do. I don't know how long it'll last, but it will eventually be removed. In Revelation 21:8, it says that those sinners mentioned will have their part in the lake of fire. But the true interpretation, listen to this carefully, the true interpretation of the word is not part, but is time. They will have their time in the lake of fire. Okay, Ephesus, Elvis, Judas, millions, billions of people that have lived on the earth, they will have their time. Who will determine their time? The judge. And with them, when they are depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire. Not eternal fire. Everlasting fire, Matthew 25, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire. With them they will take their terminating point. Will it be 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 500,000 years? Who knows? But with them, it will go. Don't you see? If their judgment, they carry it to them in their part of the lake of fire, what about the bride? If God can give to them, amen, what about to you when you come to this earth? In you lays everything, every potential that you'll ever be. When you take that breath of life and that little gene of God goes down in you, your potential is laying in you right there. Notice, and so the wicked shall be cast into hell. Hades or the grave, and hell into the lake of fire, separated from God. What a terrible thing that will be. Now watch, after John discloses this about the second death, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, he says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now look at their destiny, their end. It is identified or associated with the book of life. Now it does not say that their names are not formerly there, but their names were not currently there. Well, I used to be. That won't cut it, buddy. I used to be close to God. Boy, 20 years ago, you better be on fire for God now. Well, I used to read the message. I used to listen to this. I used to read and pray. We want to be currently on fire. You don't want to be on fire 20 years ago and now be a smoldering ash heap, you know, just laying there, smoke puffing out every now and then. I want to be on fire tonight. Now notice, whosoever, all people, dictators will stand there. Kings, Queen Anne, Queen Victoria, all the kings, Napoleon, all the great people, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let's look at this book of life. Exodus 32:31. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Now, this is the first mention now that God has written a book in heaven. Now notice Christ in Moses. Christ in Moses. Because remember, this is the same man that a little while later gets mad on a hornet and throws down the tablets. He's ready to kill the whole bunch. But this is Christ in Moses. Glory to God. You see, that's why you and I sometimes get so aggravated about this and that and the other. But if we'll let Christ do the speaking and say, "Lord, then blot me out too." But the selfish human part will say, "You bunch of rebels, you, look what I can do, this and that and the other." But the Christ part will say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." So if you're Moses now, in the stead of Christ, says, "Father, if you'll not forgive them, then I pray you'll blot my name out with theirs." My. This so moved the heart of God. It was the very epitome of God's own heart. This is Christ in Moses. Don't you see the story of redemption? This is Christ foretelling what's going to happen to the bride. This is Christ foretelling, "Father, if you'll not let me have my sweetheart, then blot me out of your book." And you imagine God saying to Christ, "I cannot blot you out. You're my very heart. You're my very existence." Oh, glory to God. Then that means you won't blot out my wife either? No. Notice this. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now watch Jesus when the disciples return back from their great healing ministry. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now here's Matthew, Mark, you know the different ones that's there, but also remember in this group is Judas Iscariot. Simon's son. Revelation 3:5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now notice even how Jesus says this, "I will confess his name before my Father," not their Father. Woo-hoo. Well, you ought to be rejoicing on that. That just slid right out of the bakers of heaven. Man, was that fresh. Woo! Glory to God. Now remember these others in Matthew 25, my brothers, which puts them on equal basis. But here Jesus is saying, "I will not confess their name before my Father," which proves these class of people are not brethren. But their name could be spoken before the Father God, and they could go into eternal life. Amen. Oh, glory to God. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." Notice this book, not the Lamb's book now. There's no references ever made to the name being blotting out of the Lamb's book. It's totally impossible. Written with eternal ink. Hold on. There ain't no mistake big enough to blot it out. Ain't no human frailty, no human error, no human stupidity, thank God. No human ignorance, no shortcoming, no devil, no sickness, no disease. It's written with the ink so strong it will endure time. It will endure temptation. It will endure human frailty. It is written from the very blood of Emmanuel. Oh my. Hallelujah. Notice this in Revelation 3:13-8. "And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him," the beast, "whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Revelation 17:8, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away. Now listen to this, friends. God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So people can have a part, a portion, an allotment in the book of life. But when they add to the word or take away from the word and they continue to go this way and will not line up, God will remove not only their name, but their portion from the book of life. Notice again, these references are not to the Lamb's book, because nothing can ever be removed from that portion of the book of life. But their part. Now, not only did they have a name written down there, but with that name, what is it, friend? It is the deed of the wheat plant to the church natural, to those that are Christians. Remember, in the body, there's two different types of Christians. There's the spiritual ones, and God, remember, in the church ages, he tells us he will address them both. He will speak to them both. There's a natural one, and there's a spiritual one. The natural Christian has his name written in the book of life. With that is a title deed of sorts, in that he can be saved, he can be healed, he can have prayers answered, he can do many, many things. But if he does not follow with that word, God will blot out his name, and when he blot out his name, he removes what inheritance God allocated to him under his position in the book of life. Oh God. Lord Jesus. Notice this. So God shall take away his part. Do your message people understand? When you take quotes of Brother Branham and try to make them quotes, set forth doctrines contrary to what's in the Bible? Do you understand you are forcing God to remove your name from the book of life? The Bible is not to be added to, friends. This message did not come to replace the Bible. Brother Bram told us there is one infallible book, and it wasn't a seal book or a church age book. It was the Bible. That's his words. Why don't people say amen to it? I'll tell you why. They don't believe it. Because they have replaced the Bible with Brother Branham's books, and they feel so justified and righteous in doing it. Look, God could have said, all right, whosoever adds to Brother Branham's words, whoever takes away from Brother Branham's words, his name will be put out. But he said his Bible. How many message folks add to it? No matter what the Bible says, they go find a quote about this and that or the other, and you can put them together and make them say anything you want them to say. And you realize by doing so, they put this quote with that one, with that one. Don't even believe in preachers no more. Don't believe in going to church no more. Don't believe in this no more and that no more, and feel justified in doing it. You understand, when they promote this, their name eventually, if they continue to do so, will be blotted out of the book of life. This is scary. You imagine people preaching and believing? All you got to do is love Brother Branham, and that's your means of salvation? Do you understand that message? People's names will be removed from the book of life by preaching Brother Branham is their means of salvation instead of the cross. Now, this is the sad part. It's not removed that day at the white throne. Their names are actually removed here in time, in this life. Oh God, how sad. Can I go on just a bit? When Israel rejected the leadership of God in the pillar of fire and turned to worship the golden calves, their names were removed from the book of life. So what about in this day when folks worship idols? You've probably seen the video clip of them having the Soul Train Awards of 2012. And the man stands up to introduce it and he said, "We want to give honor to God and our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama." I can send it to you if you'd like to see it. Oh, we said, "That's terrible. It's just as bad when folks make Brother Branham Jesus. They make Brother Branham God, Brother Joseph Jesus, and Brother Isaac the Holy Ghost. Heathens." I said, "Absolute heathens. Idolatry. God wants no man between you and him. Not your pastor, not your prophet, not your brother, not your daddy, not your mama. He said the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." Amen. We don't need no mediators of Mary or Joseph Branham or Donnie Reagan or Jack Benton. We have got one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Friends, do you understand? It's probably in heaven, it's going on weekly, that names are being removed from the book of life. And God is merciful, we know. He'll deal with people and deal with people and deal with people to a certain place. I'm glad I don't know who they are. I'm glad I don't know when it takes place. And don't sit there and look at me and act like you do, because you don't either. But you understand, when God looks at it and sees they've come to the spot, they will not return from this point. Then God actually has their name removed from the book of life. They keep on going to Jeffersonville, they keep on Plantation, or they keep on coming to Happy Valley, whatever it is, and they keep doing on their thing, you know, on and on and on, because they're living in a religious environment. And the environment doesn't change just because their name is removed from the book of life. Amen. Dear Lord. Now notice, when Israel rejected the leadership of God, the pillar of fire, and turned to worship golden calves, their names were removed from the book of life. Right then. So you imagine when they raise them, the resurrection, they stand before God and they say, "Lord, we ate manna. We were baptized in the sea with Moses. We done this and this and saw this and this and heard this and this. The prophet of God ate in my tent." And God says, "Do a name search. Your name is not there." What is it? "I was circumcised the eighth day. I kept Shabbat. I've done this. I've done that." "Oh, but there's an asterisk here by your name. Let's see what this note says." "Oh, you were one of them that worshiped calves." Now, I'm going to tell you something. One day I'm going to preach it to you if the Lord will help me. You'll be surprised when you find out that worship of calves, how close it was to the true worship. You see, their idolatry in worshiping of the calves was not that they were necessarily pulling away from worship from Jehovah, but it was simply giving Jehovah an earthly manifestation. They were not rejecting Jehovah's worship and saying, "Oh, we don't believe in God no more." Remember, they told Aaron, "Let's have a feast to the Lord." They were giving Jehovah a visible image. And they were going to worship Jehovah through these calves. Like people worship Jehovah through a prophet or through a church or through a pastor. Come on, children. Oh no, them days are gone. We don't worship God through no veil. We worship God in spirit and in truth. My. Go on down a little bit. Israel's rejection of Jesus Christ as Messiah demanded a severe penalty. This is exactly so in Psalm 69, which sets forth the humiliation of Jesus. It says, and in verse 21 to 28, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not. Make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take a hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate. Let none dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. And they talk to the grief of those thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Now when Israel rejects Jesus Christ at the cross, their names are removed from the book of life. You think they quit worshiping? You think Caiaphas, I'm quitting being the priest. I'm backsliding. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to go out. I'm going to rob a bank. I'm going to do. He went right on just like he did before. And his name was removed from the book of life. Lord, help us. Watch this now. He reads the scripture in Acts 13, 46 to 48. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken unto you. But seeing that you have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Thank God. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, glory to God. Amen. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. What about it, Gentiles? Are we glad? Praise the Lord. When we heard this, we were glad. Glory to God. It's not just saying that 2,000 years ago, but when I heard what the Jews had done by turning down Jesus as their Messiah and that he had called a Gentile bride, I was glad. It made me glad when I heard it all my years and years ago. It makes me even gladder tonight, brother. I know it's still the truth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now you imagine, some names were removed. Now here's Paul and Barnabas, not Jesus now. But Paul and Barnabas standing there, and these Jews didn't know it. This was their last sermon. Today they're going to go to church, and hear these preachers, and their name by the end of the service would be took off the book. So right there as they close their sermon, and Paul and then turn to the Gentiles. And in heaven, hundreds, thousands, who knows how many, their names were blotted out of the book of life. Oh God, help us. Page 272 of the Church Age book. Now I'm sure that you've noticed that those whose names are in the book of life were a part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him, though they did not worship according to truth. Now notice, those in the book of life were part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him, though they did not worship according to truth, word. Like Judas, they didn't go all the way. See how Judas, I hope this don't choke you now. See how Judas was chosen of God? But you see, you can be chosen for a timely purpose and not an eternal one. Which is a purpose only in time. Now notice, Judas was chosen by God. He was instructed in truth. He shared knowledge of the mysteries. Boy, it sounds like a good message preacher to me. Shared knowledge. Notice Brother Bam doesn't say revelation. Didn't share revelation of the mysteries, but shared knowledge. After he heard somebody else preach it, then he went to preaching it. Shared knowledge of the mysteries. Had a ministry. Listen to this. Of power. Granted unto him. And he healed the sick and cast out devils in Jesus' name. You say, how in the world could he do that being a devil? He was allocated apart out of the book of life. His name was in the book of life. Being called an apostle, he was granted power. That power did not come from within him. No more than it did not come from within Peter, because it wasn't born again. It was an allocation of authority. Like a deputy or state trooper or whatever more, they are allocated amount of authority and power. Judas was given a ministry of power. He was not inferior to Peter at all. You imagine when the 70 come back and Peter said, glory to God, I preached the word and I saw the lame get up, and Mark said, hallelujah, I saw the same thing. And you imagine Judas came and said, glory to God, I preached the word and I saw this and that and the other. They would have known right there, if there'd been no supernatural, no signs, no wonder, no miracles, his ministry was not inferior. His ministry was not weaker. His ministry was not less. It was looked like the same thing, but they could be born again and he couldn't. But when the showdown came, he sold out, oh my, for gold and political power. He didn't go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, friends, you've heard me preach it for years. I'm going to continue to as long as God gives me strength. That's the biggest shortcoming I believe we have in the message. People share knowledge of the mysteries. Many of them have ministries of power and this and that and the other. They just don't go to Pentecost. They hate true Pentecost. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit. Make no mistake about it. A person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way. They're not in the Word just for baptism. They're not in the Word. They're in the Word all the way. They're in the Word for the way they live, for the way they talk, for the way they walk, for the way they dress, for everything they do. They're in the Word all the way. That is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes fail right there. And when they fail to go on in that word, their names are taken off the book of life. So what if people come to the message, embrace the doctrines of the message, and accept the message, and they never go on any farther than that, and absolutely refuse to progress? God may give them 6 months, a year, 5 years, who knows how long. But eventually, God will look at their rebellion and their sin to refuse to progress. And he will remove their names from the book of life. They'll go on playing tapes. They'll go on to Jeffersonville. They'll go on coming after that or whatever it is. But because God saw in their heart, this was preached to them, they wouldn't do it. This was preached to them, they wouldn't do it. This was preached to them, they wouldn't do it. And they kept refusing more and more and more. They'd get counseling, they'd get quotes, they'd get scriptures. God would have a pastor say it, then an evangelist say it, then another evangelist say it, then another evangelist say it. And the pastor would come back and preach it again, and they just absolutely refused to do it. And however the process is consummated in heaven, God looks over to an angel and says, remove his name from the book. Lord Jesus. As Israel, the chosen people of God in majority, forfeited their rights in the book of life by rejecting Jesus, so the majority of the Gentile church will also come into condemnation with the resultant removal of their name from the book of life by one simple thing. By rejecting the word. And thereby entering into the world ecumenical movement, which is the image erected unto the beast. Let's stand. Oh my.
Lord Jesus. And friend, you know, the sad thing about it is that for all of these people who will have their names removed from the book of life, it's not that they're predestinated to be done that way. It's not that they're ordained. They're ordained to have their name removed. It's on one basis. They chose. They refused to go on with the Word. So what part of the Word then can you and I refuse to go on with and God will allow us to go in? Is it Malachi 4 or Ephesians 4? Is there a difference? I mean, the denominational people, if they refuse to accept God, send a prophet and send a message, oh my, we condemn them to no end. But what about other parts that we hear that we just refuse to go on to? Why? Why do we do it? Apparently, we don't think we need to. Or we have plans later in life at a more convenient time. Well, I plan on doing it later. But you see, that's still making you in charge instead of putting God in charge. Because if God presents it to you tonight, it could be that God wants you to respond tonight instead of next week. But you choose to opt out and say, no, I'm not ready. I'm just not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I'm going to do it next week or next month or whenever I get good and ready. But when you getting good and ready, he may not be good and ready. I want to respond to him, don't you? If he tears a hide off of me every time I come to church, I want to respond. If I can't say amen, I'll say ouch, or oh me, or pray for me, or God help me, or whatever. Lord, have mercy, children. I wonder how many people sit here in our church. People have come and gone over the years. When something's preached over the pulpit, and they heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it. They thought it was just me hammering, or somebody else. Oh, I'm preaching on, preaching on. I can't stand all that stuff. I ain't going back. Because they think it's me, or Brother Horn, or some of these other brothers. But wonder, when they walked out that door the last time, and slammed the door, I'll never be back again. God looked over that angel, take his name off the book. And maybe they stay home, play tapes, or they, you know, go to the annual deal up in Jeffersonville, or, you know, whatever that they do, because they still maintain this religious atmosphere around them. They miss the rapture. Tribulation sets in. Then they come up on the white throne. And there they stand. They see Brother Branham on the other side, and they see Jesus, and they see all these people. Oh, my. They just know they're going to go in. And Jesus says, I can't find your name. You're kidding me. Don't you understand? I went to Happy Valley for 30 years. Every Easter, I went to the Branham Tabernacle. When they had the tape services, I was right there in the front row. Your name is not in my book. There has to be some mistake. Oh, there is an asterisk by your name. There's a footnote there. Oh, yes, here it is. Donnie Reagan on such and such and so and so preached to you about so and so and so. Remember that night? You got mad at him. You thought he's sowing it at you. But my mercy was extended to you. 2 months later, you decided to come back. He wasn't preaching, but somebody else was. He hadn't told them one thing, but they come across the same thing. And you got mad again. You didn't go back again for another 4 months. When you went back again, the same thing was preached again. And that time you made up your mind. I'm sick of this stuff. Do you understand, friends? A lot of the folks on these websites that's writing stuff about how wrong the message is and this and that and the other. Do you understand what's happening? They're writing things on websites, and while they're writing them, God's taking their name off the book of life. But this is what's amazing. Many of them feel closer to Jesus than they've ever felt in their lives. It's not that they're closer to Jesus. The devil's just eased up on them. So they bob their hair and the men put on their little short breeches so they can show their little womanly legs. And man, they reading their Bible and praying. Oh, I feel so closer to God. Yeah. I don't doubt that at all. It's kind of like Jesus said it this way, that
When the unclean spirit goeth out of a man and walketh through dry places and seeking rest and finding none, and he can't find none, so he says, I'll go back to the house I come out. Brother Bram said, if you'll notice, he went out on his own and come back on his own. I've seen it before in casting devils out of people. I mean, you just got that something that hangs right there that ain't right, yet though they act different and they come out of their spell and whatever more. But there's something there that just ain't right. You know exactly what happened. He left on his own accord, which means he has a right to come back. So don't you understand what's happened to a lot of these folks? Their name's been removed from the book of life. Their burdens are so much better. Oh, they're fellowshipping with this and that and the other. My, they're feeling such freedom. They're so free. A woman can bob off her hair, paint her face like a whore, and feel free after hearing this truth. I don't want that kind of freedom. God have mercy on us. Your name on that book is left entirely up to you. If you're not bride tonight and you're just church, say all of us, every one of us, me included, every one of us was just church. That's all we were. And our name was on that book of life. Still, the devil, you, nobody else can take my name off. I'm the only one. And the only way that can be done is if I refuse to go on with the word. That's why there ain't no stopping place till we're changed. We just keep on going and going and going and growing. Right? God bless you, children. I don't like preaching things like this. It makes my heart so heavy. And I was in Illinois and Indiana hunting. I was standing on it. So I thought, oh, Lord, I'll be so glad to get past this. I'm wanting to bring that new city. I don't want to bring all this. But yet, this is part of it. And I want to sink one thing into you before we leave. Your name being removed has nothing to do with God. Has nothing to do with anyone else. God's not forcing you. It is your choice. And that's why he will justly look at you or anyone else and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Your name is not in my book. But you imagine there'll be others standing there shaking, trembling, scared to death, thinking, oh God, oh God, that was my pastor. If he was lost, there's probably no hope for me. There'll be preachers thrown in hell. And people that sat under them that was sincere and genuine. And they'll walk right into eternal life. Because they didn't stand against the people of God. You imagine as they walk up. I was broke down on the side of the road. I'd done this. I was hungry. Lord, I never saw you that way. But you done it to my brother back here. You was nice to him for his sake. I want to be nice to you. Lord Jesus, when will we ever understand how much he loves us? What a value he places on his elect. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I stand here tonight with mixed emotions in my heart. It makes us feel so sad. Yet, on the other hand, it makes us so happy and glad. It makes us sad to know that every day, no doubt, people are crossing that place. They don't necessarily even have to be in a message church to do that either. Just illuminated to a little bit more light and they refuse to walk in it. I'm glad none of us have access to that book. I'm glad it's not accessible to human beings or to demons because a lot of folks have blot us out. But no matter how much anybody hates me or these people here, no one can remove her name. The only one, if my name is not in that Lamb's book, if it's in that book of life,
There's not a person in this earth, not a potentate, not a power, not a magistrate or a judge or a president that could ever remove that name. The only one would be me. Lord, help these young people, help each of us to realize. I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. So the book of life people, when they stand there, there will be the record of the music they listened to, the movies they watched, the things they did, the gossip they told in the church. If they had bitterness in their heart or hatred or envy or strife, all the things that they did against the people of God, every one of them will be written. O Lamb of God, I've done so much wrong in my life, Lord. No doubt I've offended people and hurt them. Lord Jesus, if there's anything in my account tonight, Lord, even that I'm unaware of, I pray you forgive me, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. If there's anything that we need to do to make right with anyone, show us, Lord. Please. We want to be right, Lord God. Many folks in this message, they get so in their mind, they're bride, and they live worse than a lot of Baptist people do. It's like they're not even going to be held accountable for what they do and what they say and the way they live. Help us, Lord. Whether we're in the Lamb's book or the book of life, we must answer for the way we live. A lot of people remember the seven seal message, and they remember these other deeper ones, but they fail to listen to or remember the sermon titled, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Help us, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. Hallelujah. How many loves Him with all your heart? Whether you're bride or whether you're not bride, you want to live for Him. You want to serve Him to the best of your ability. Is that the way you feel tonight? He owes me no favors. He does not owe to make me elect. If I'm elect, it has nothing to do with my own choice even. It has nothing to do with how good I am or none of that. He chose me before the world began. But if I'm not elect, He so reaches out and makes a way that if I want to be saved, I can be saved. My name can remain on that book of life. Oh, but you know, you feel in your heart the same way I feel. I believe with all of my heart, my name's in that Lamb's book of life. I believe the way I love Him and the way I feel about Him, I believe it's deeper than just a book of life Christian. Hallelujah. And if it is so, then it'll lead me on to the Word, and I'll keep going and going and going until I'm going, going, gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll have no idols in my life, no gods of silver, no gods of gold. I'll worship the one and true God. Hallelujah. I'll overcome sin. I'll overcome self. I'll be an overcomer. The second death can't touch me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we just raise our hands to Him now and worship Him? Aren't you glad, friends, that God's given us a choice? Aren't you glad He's given us a choice? Your destiny, it's up to you. Where you want to go, where you want to spend it. You want to go to the lake of fire, it's entirely up to you. It wasn't made for you. Or if you want to be able to be granted eternal life, even if you're not bride, it's up to you. You accept it tonight. Accept it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's not bride. World. World. God so loved the world. Sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, not the bride, the world, that the world might be saved. Hallelujah. How much more of those elect whom He foreknew before the foundation of the world? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship You tonight, Lord God. Lord, that statement that I made here Sunday morning has just reverberated all week in my heart.
Lord, about if one of these people was a king, would they give it all away for me? We can give things away for those we love. We'd be even willing to die for some. But as it would move farther and farther away from our closest family members, it'd be harder and harder to do. We'd give part of our living to people that we loved. And we'd even give a part to people we don't know. But to give everything we had to a sinner, for a sinner? Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, to love like you love. To forgive. For we know, Father, that forgiveness is based upon faith. As Brother Brown brings it to us in perfect faith. And he said, then we see that faith is based upon forgiveness. So forgiveness and faith ties together. So how can we have perfect faith and hold grudges and hard feelings in our heart? Even as you prayed for forgiveness for those who crucified you. Yet at the same time, many of their names were being removed from the book of life. When you were there on the cross, Eli, Eli, Leme, Sabachthani, and their names are being removed from heaven. Caiaphas, the great high priest, many of the holy, righteous men standing there at the Sanhedrin, many people who dedicated their lives and continued to do so, and they gave them a holy, righteous funeral when they died. Yet their name was took off the book of life at the day of the crucifixion. May we understand every individual that comes to that spot where they refuse to the word, it's the day of crucifixion again for them. For they reach that spot in their life when they nail you again on that tree. It is the day of final crucifixion, and you'll never deal with them again. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Even those of us that are in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, may we not think we can sin and get by. Tender our hearts, Lord. We're living in a hard age. Lord, the message people are getting so hard. So hard. Lord, talking to Brother Robert Morrell yesterday, he'd tell me what went on up at his church on Sunday. People from other message church coming in and turning the lights off in the tabernacle and disrupting the service. Brother Lenuel and Sister Lois there hollering at the end of the service and disrupting the service. Lord, help the people to see that spirit of death is right around this message. We're not going to be exempt from it. The only thing that will keep us exempt from death is life. Life. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just raise our hands. And now I'm going to let you go here shortly. I know you kids have got school tomorrow and you got to work and all that. I know it's kind of a scary feeling, friends. I know it's a very serious thing. Imagine if you'd have been a firstborn son living in Goshen that night when the death angel was moving through. Maybe you was close enough to the border of the Egyptian territory and you could hear a little Egyptian boy crying and screaming out because death was smiting him and another and another. Don't you tell me you wouldn't have been afraid? You imagine Brother Bam said that he'd say, Daddy, are you sure? Would you look again? But that father go to the door and said, Son, I've done what the prophet said do. The token's been applied. Then he would have to have confidence and believe. Would his flesh tremble? Would his spirit become anxious? Sure it would. But he could know and believe that what his daddy has done, he's applied that word. Then when that black, hideous thing come by, oh glory, but it can't come in the house because the blood's been applied. Glory to God. Does it make us tremble? Does it make us feel nervous, Brother Terry? Sure. Does it make us feel awkward? Sure it does. But don't worry. When he comes by, he'll see that token displayed. Glory! Death can't touch it. Hallelujah. Because the blood's on the door. Amen. The prophet said they put the blood there because the name of the person was on the door. So you put the blood over the person's name. That makes you and the blood identified. Amen, amen. Let the death angel pass. God's bride is safe at last. Oh, glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Great Adonai. We bless your name to that, Lord. Death has altered the land. Names been removed. But, oh, Lord, may our name remain. Whichever book it's on, may it never be removed, Lord God. Hallelujah. If it's on that Lamb's book, it can come off. But if it's just on that book of life, God, give us that something that we will be determined whether we're bride or not bride. We're going to live our best for you. Lot could never be an Abraham, but he could only be what he was. And we know, Lord, you've made a way. Your prophet said, if I want to be saved, it's up to you to make a way where I can be saved. I don't want to be lost, Lord. I don't want to perish with the world. So you've made a way. Let's sing together as we get ready to go. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Sing it once again before we go. Everybody with all your heart. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. You see, it saved a wretch like me. Sing this as you go. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we go. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend. Come expecting the Lord to speak to us.
Oh, when we been there 10 times.